that was good times.
Just a warning, though, we're draining it a little differently this week, so no playing kind of in this area for the kids, because this will be full till tomorrow, just to let everybody know. So please avoid kind of playing around up here and stuff. Maybe if the kids can just stay out of the main auditorium here when things are done. Anyways, that brings us to our kid time anyways, and we all know what time it is. It's time to guess what's in the bag. Can you figure out what it is this week? Whoa! I don't think it's fragile. A water bottle.
CFWE.
Oh my goodness.
Alberta's best country. Proudly indigenous.
Who's got a guess here? I hear water bottle. I hear a water bottle. Water bottle? Coffee cup. Oh, there you go. Now you're speaking my language. Absolutely. Let's take a look at it. You guys guessed it right this week. It's been a while since you've been right. I don't know. It's a coffee cup. And there's coffee in it. It's fantastic. Thank you for the bag, man. Anyways, we're doing a cup this week. Because, well, cups hold our liquids, right? And we need those cups to quench our thirst. And such. And in the Bible, we actually read about many cups. They represent many different things. Sometimes cups are in dreams. Sometimes cups are being drank out of. Well, other times, some people hold important roles as they make sure that the king's cup is pure and has nothing bad in it. Cups can be associated with blessings in the Bible as we think about the many blessings that God pours into our lives. And he does so generously. He does so abundantly. And there are a couple of flows with gifts from above. He gives us lots. Revelation 21:6 reads, "He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life.'" Sometimes, though, the Bible talks about cups of suffering. And most of us would say no thank you to that. But in our lives, we'll face moments of sadness. Maybe we feel overwhelmed in those moments, and it's a bitter cup that we drink from. Jesus experienced this as he was on the cross, or about to go on the cross, as we read this in Matthew. It says, "Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" There are lots of cups of communion, of joy, of wisdom, of gratitude, and even of God's presence. Cups remind us of how God engages with us, so we cherish the joyful cups, but we also recognize that our sad times will lead to a deeper walk with Jesus. May the Lord fill our cups with his Holy Spirit. And so today's story, it involves someone who was a cupbearer, and he made sure that the king's water or wine were safe to drink. It was one of the most important roles you could actually have in the kingdom. Nehemiah heard news of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was a Jew living in the court of King Artaxerxes of Persia. He was the king's cupbearer. One day, Nehemiah's brothers returned from Jerusalem and said to him, "The people there are in great trouble. Jerusalem's wall has been broken down and its gates have been burned." When Nehemiah heard this, he sat down and wept. For days he fasted and prayed to God, "Yahweh, the God of heaven, let your eyes be open and your ears to hear my prayer. We have sinned against you, but please remember your words to Moses." We're going to have to kind of go back a little bit because I'm like, where did I leave off here? When Nehemiah heard this, he sat down and wept. For days he fasted and prayed to God, "Yahweh, the God of heaven, let your eyes be open and your ears hear my prayer. We have sinned against you, but please remember your words to Moses, If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and obey me, I will gather you from the ends of the earth and bring you to the place I have chosen. Please, Lord, hear my prayer. When Nehemiah went to serve the king, he was still sad. He had never been sad in the king's presence before, so the king asked, "Why are you sad when you aren't sick?" Nehemiah was overwhelmed with fear and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king asked, "What do you want?" Nehemiah prayed to God before he answered the king, "If it pleases the king, send me to Jerusalem so that I may rebuild it." So the king sent Nehemiah to Jerusalem. He sent with him letters to all the governors so that Nehemiah would have safe travels. He also sent letters to the keeper of the king's forest to give Nehemiah wood to rebuild the gates and the walls of Jerusalem. The king even sent officers from his army to protect Nehemiah. When Nehemiah had been in Jerusalem 3 days, he got up one night and inspected the walls of Jerusalem. When he returned, he said to the people there, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned down. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's wall so that we will no longer be a disgrace." Then Nehemiah told them how God had helped them and all that the king had said and done. So the people said, "Let's start building." And they did. The Christ Connection reads, Nehemiah knew that God would keep his promise to bring his people back home, so he wasn't afraid to help God to do it. As Christians, we have a home to look forward to in heaven and with God. Jesus is the brave one who goes to his Father for us and makes the way for us to get home. Let me tell you, if you're ever interested in leadership, read the book of Nehemiah. It's got some fantastic quotes. Anyways, kids, you can head on downstairs, Sunday school time, have fun, learn lots. Love your teachers, love each other, and do awesome. We are praying for you, and we love you. Now is the time that we come together as a church family and we pray for those things that we just kind of are in need of at this time. Or maybe we just rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. And today, obviously, I want to pray just for the baptism that we saw today. What a testimony and just what faithfulness that we see walked out before us. So I want to continue to pray for Shana and her journey. Big celebration. Anyone else have? Your eyes too. Both surgeries went well for the cataract. Oh my goodness. You didn't want to do the poke out lenses thing and look kind of, I guess, cooler or something without the lenses? Can intervene and make it go well. Fantastic. What's your older daughter? Sorry? Hey. Oh my goodness, that's exciting for sure. Do you know a gender or anything? Or girl, all right. Those ones that surprised me, I was like, good for you. Like, I can't, I need to go kind of what's going on.
Slide, drive, and play at West Edmonton Mall. Test your bowling skills at Ed's Bowling, which also includes billiards and an escape room. Enjoy a round or two of golf at Professor Wem's Adventure Golf or Dragon's Tail Blacklight Mini Golf and Crystal Labyrinth near Maze.
Slide down all the slides
in the World Water Park. Do a little go-kart driving or play all day at Galaxy Lab. There's even marine life for those who love penguins and sea lions. Plan your next West Edmonton Mall adventure today.
Where we begin today is we just exhausted.
Local snow is finally here. Don't miss winter riding adventures with a Ski-Doo. The new 2026 Gen 5 models are here to deliver class-leading design, power, and capability. Ready to work or play. Check out the new 2026 lineup now at Riverside, Honda, and Ski-Doo. Inventory is limited, with financing starting at 5.99%. 15 Inglewood Drive, Saint Albert, RiversideHonda.com, or 780-548-7227. It's your dream. Ride it at Riverside. Shop local. Shop Canadian.
Share the gospel.
The Windspeaker Radio Network, CFWE North, CJWE South, and 89.3 The Raven are media sponsors of the 2026 Miss Indigenous Canada competition. Scheduled for this summer, Miss Indigenous Canada is a three-day event geared towards young Indigenous leaders of tomorrow. It's open to First Nation, Métis, and Inuit women. And you must be 18 years of age to apply. Applications for the 2026 competition are due for submissions by January 31st. Find more details at MissIndigenousCanada.ca.
It's amazing. Lower prices across the store.
Maybe we come alongside Shane and encourage her, uplift her,
and take it home today with convenient payment options and trusted local delivery. But don't wait. These prices won't last all year. New year, new savings, new lower prices. Only at Furniture Galaxy. Start the year smart.
Lord, even if we hear answered prayers for... from last week, but we continue to pray for him for healing in his body and his brain.
Every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday. And then twice a month, you can win a $25,000 super bingo game. For a list of sellers, game formats, and game calendar, visit RadioBingo.ca and be one of our winners.
Support, uplift, make it
more
impact.
So
CFWE is proud to be part of the SOL Career Fair, January 28th at the Alberta Aviation Museum in Edmonton. Businesses, organizations, and employers are invited to join the fair, supporting and uplifting Indigenous women, and to find employment. This is a great opportinity to connect with talented individuals, recruit, and inspire. Stop by the CFWE table to say hi and snag some giveaways. The SOL Career Fair, January 28th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Edmonton's Alberta Aviation Museum. Proudly sponsored by CFWE. Alberta's best country. This is CFWE, Alberta's
Lord,
best country. 88.7, Rocky Mountain House. 96.7, Bonnieville. 98.5 FM, St. Albert.
We pray for his health. We pray for his stubbornness. Lord, there's difficult conversations that are coming down the road, and so we just pray that you prepare the hearts of those who have to deliver that conversation. That you would be present in their lives as they gently present options. We pray that you would be able to receive this. It's tough when you've lived somewhere for so long. You're unable to take care of that place in yourself. So we just pray that he sees God. Lord, we pray that you would fill him today. I pray more so than that, that he would get to know you. Understand who you are. And turn toward you, Jesus. So we thank you for your prayer, sir. Lord, right now we want to put Haley to you as well. It could be even today that she's going to be giving birth, and so we thank you for that. For life. It's a miracle every time. And so we just pray for this baby girl that she would be so healthy. Her mom would be healthy, and it would be fantastic. Just to celebrate that as a family. And so we pray for health in this baby's life, and that everything with Jehovah as smooth as it possibly could. Some people are born to be tired. And Lord, we also want to lift up Jenna to you. She's out in Europe and studying. And so we just pray that you would be with her at this time. That she would feel your presence, she would feel your family as hopefully she continues to head out to this church family, just makes her feel a part of this community around her. And we just pray for even inspiration as she writes people. Give her the ability to see. Sometimes it's easy to fast, procrastinate, or put off, and we just pray that you do a way to cut and get it to be able to. I guess as we start off today, I was wondering, all of us got ready for church. At least I hope we didn't just roll out of bed in our pajamas and stuff like that. But what crossed your minds as you were getting ready for today? I mean, did anyone stress over their appearance, over their hair, or what they were wearing? I didn't. I was wearing swim shorts and a ratty t-shirt today. And I'm sure some of us put some thought into our clothing style because it's something we often do. We tend to dress for the occasion, as we call it. Even though I'm sure some of us would love to come here in sweatpants or crusty clothes, and I would accept you if you did, but we tend not to. We do this even at work as there is somewhat of a requirement to have some value in our appearance, depending on what we do, of course. But then there are times where we knowingly dress for the season. In summer, we wear shorts. Short sleeve shirts. Usually some sort of thinner material. And in winter, we have big puffy jackets that kind of run into everything and everyone as we bumble about. When we attend weddings or funerals, we dress up a little more than usual. And even as I think about it, I'm sure it would have been strange had I decided to baptize in my suit this morning. I get a chuckle over anyone deciding to go for a run with high heels on. Our attire, for the situation, it has some value. And I'm sure we can all agree on it. But here's the thing. The thing that I'm far more concerned about and that God is more concerned about is our spiritual attire. The things that we put on with us. Not just at church, but every day. I know some of you like to point out what I wear at church, and that's fine. That's for you to figure out in your walk. What we need to learn is that our spiritual clothing is far more important than anything we will wear on a Sunday morning. Because the truth is, the practical righteousness of Jesus Christ, that thing that we're called to put on, it is suitable for all occasions. And it's something that must be worn. But the problem is the church has not been worn. So it's time to realize that there is no situation, there is no season in life which clothing ourselves in Jesus Christ will ever be inappropriate or inadequate. Paul describes exactly what should be taken up as our new attire. So we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 12 to 14. Starting in verse 12, Paul writes this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." We've been talking a lot about stripping off clothes, and that's kind of strange for a church to talk about. So today, we're going to actually talk about putting on clothes. Right? Paul talks about putting to death and getting rid of sin, and he addresses this unredeemed nature of humanity and its lifestyle. So now he's using a clothing metaphor, one that corresponds with our new identity in Christ Jesus. In doing so, Paul is challenging us to consider the practical implications. Think about what Paul says here. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we are to live accordingly. And we see that even as Paul calls the church in Colossae to put on these virtue clothes, he brings the reader back to the conversation of Jew and Gentile and those divisive distinctions. Because all are God's chosen people. So we're reminded in that moment that we have to remove those distinctions. All believers are members of God's covenant family, and we are considered and called saints by Paul. Colossians chapter 1 verse 2 reads, "To the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God the Father." So as saints, we have been spiritually circumcised in Jesus, and we become heirs of his eternal inheritance. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 reads, "In giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." It's in Jesus that we are holy and dearly loved, and we've been set apart by God's undeserved loving kindness to be his ambassadors. The 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 to 10 reads, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." What does Paul do? Paul, he reminds the church of Colossae of their new identity. And in doing so, there are characteristics that should be present in this new identity. So he identifies five virtues that should be seen in every follower of Jesus Christ. This is a list that is not all-encompassing, as there are more virtues in which a follower of Jesus should demonstrate in their character in our Christian walk. So Paul, he begins with the virtue of compassion. Compassion describes a heartfelt mercy toward other people. It is one that reflects Jesus' concern for the people who were hurting. Just look at the heart of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Do we have that same attitude when we look at people? Do we see them as people that are helpless and need Jesus? Compassion, it needs to be an article of clothing that we spiritually wear and put on. Compassion is then followed by kindness. Kindness is being thoughtful and considerate. It is something that is demonstrated through acts of benevolence. So it's an action. It's like love. It is something that is usually given to people who do not deserve it. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 5 reads, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." We've been rescued by God's undeserved kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. This is the example that we have. This is how we're supposed to live out our lives in that same fashion. So we must clothe ourselves in the same caring posture as Jesus. What other piece of clothing should we be concerned with in our lives? Well, humility. This requires us to have an honest assessment of who I am, of who you are. Something we don't like to do. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 reads, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This requires us to put on clothes in a way that we actually value others as more important than ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4 reads, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." Paul then reminds the church in Colossae, "Clothe yourselves in gentleness," or meekness, as some translations have it. This is a peaceful and unassuming attitude. And Paul appeals to the character of Christ Jesus in pushing for clothing oneself in gentleness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 reads, "By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away." And Jesus himself would say this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And finally, Paul concludes his virtue list with patience. Patience speaks to a measured response to others, especially as we face that opposition. I'd say it's almost non-existent in today's society. Patience means, if you're able to be patient, it means you exhibit a trust. You exhibit a confident trust in Jesus Christ, who patiently extends grace to all people. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 reads, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." This entire list of virtues that Paul writes, it identifies characteristics that reflect Jesus. They reflect the Savior. They are essentially what putting on Jesus Christ looks like. It's something that we should wake up every morning and be like, "Yeah, I'm going to put him on today." Because that is a requirement for all who follow Jesus. Romans chapter 13, verse 14 reads, "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." So we're to put on these attributes. How do we do that? Well, Paul, he's going to immediately follow this up with examples of corresponding behavior. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, which we read, says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." These are practical examples of how to demonstrate the listed virtues that we're to put on. We're told to bear with one another, which to bear with one another is to lovingly and patiently cooperate with others for the sake of unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3 reads, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." We're to forgive one another. And as we do this, we demonstrate this willingness to extend the mercy that we've already received in Jesus Christ. And that mercy is now to be given to those who hurt or offend us. What a different way to live. Rather than being bitter and crusty about what someone did to me, forgiving you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 reads, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Here's the thing. Because it may be true, our grievance against one another may actually be valid. The reason for me being ticked off at someone, it might be right. But it's not. I cannot hold on to this anger and this nastiness. Because in the end, our forgiveness, it's not going to excuse their sin anyways, and it doesn't allow us to even cover the offenses that we receive with grace. but it's still the right thing to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 reads, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. So it's not about being right, it's about doing right before the Lord. Our forgiveness, it preserves unity and it prevents this bitterness from taking roots in our hearts. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile. Example, they all lead to one major thing that we are to close with. Not our Sunday best. Put on love. Loving others is always elevated as the supreme quality that we are to demonstrate to act out. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 reads, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love, it is evidence of our salvation. Love, it is a testimony of the gospel that we've received. Love, it is an expression of our love for God in response to His love for us. Love, it just epitomizes the character of God, and love ultimately fulfills the law. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 12 reads, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. God's love for us and our love for one another is the perfect bond of unity that weds us together and blends the virtues in complete harmony. The list of virtues, it describes this loving sacrifice and service that we are called to demonstrate as a church. Every one of us should see this and should become apparent that following Jesus requires to put on these articles of clothing, ones of a servant. You see it play out in Jesus' ministry, and we need to serve and love others in that same manner that Jesus showed. Think about that time where they're up in the upper room and he's talking to his disciples for this last supper that they're about to have, and he wraps this towel around his waist. It's just this act of absolute humility as he begins to wash his disciples' dirty, crusty feet. One of the filthiest jobs you could have, a slave would need. Only that, we need to love in the same manner that Jesus showed as He clothed Himself in humanity. We are called to dress ourselves humbly in acts of service to God. But we have unfortunately become more concerned with feeding our own desires than we are in ministering towards others. If you come away from the church service more concerned with what the pastor was wearing over what you spiritually have clothed yourselves in, you might be coming into church for the wrong reason. When's the last time that we've looked at each other in the eyes and said, how are you doing? How are your spiritual feelings doing? Do you have them on today? Pastor, do you have your spiritual feelings on today? God is more concerned with our spiritual clothing than how fancy we've got. We need nothing. As a church, we need to take off our spiritual goods, a thing that's for babies, and put on our spiritual goods. Have clothing on which reflects the heart of compassion of the Savior, Jesus, as we love others and willingly sacrifice on behalf of others. It's truly beautiful. We put on Christ's clothes. It is clothing that is suitable for service. But on top of that, it's going to be clothing that is meant to relax. Clothing ourselves in Jesus is relaxing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 reads, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful." In our culture, it's so easy to find ourselves just filled with tension, anxiety, and fear. It's everywhere you look on it. If you're really, you don't have to look hard, but if you just simply click open a browser on the internet, immediately anxiety and fears and tension can just overwhelm you. Open a newspaper, I don't even know if those are things anymore. But these frustrations, they just lead to these festering wounds in our lives, and these worries, they just weigh so heavily on us. And all it does is cause our lives to lack any sense of peace. And it's in Jesus Christ that we find peace. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 reads, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 reads, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It is peace within our consciences and peace that is even found in our circumstances, regardless of what they are. John chapter 14, verse 27 reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. See, Jesus' peace can rule, and it can control our hearts when we trust in him, and we place all of our confidence in him. Individual peace comes about through prayer, which may say something about our culture's prayer life when it comes to how anxious we are and worked up we get about it. And corporately, peace is found in the comfort and assurance of God's people as part of one body. And each one of you actually plays a role in peace. Another reason to gather together is just so important that meeting together should happen in our lives. It shouldn't just be discounted as something like, it's a fun thing to do on Sunday. I like to shake hands and get those germs off of me. No, it should be something that's like, I want to dig deeper together. I want to do corporate life together. I want to find Jesus' peace together. I want to spread Jesus' love together. When our hearts find peace in Jesus, we end up with this proper perspective, and what follows is that thankful heart. It just leads to a heart that is full of gratitude and is thankful for all things and for all circumstances. When's the last time that we were thankful during hardships? When was the last time we were thankful and we fully know that the outcome of those hardships, it's going to be a stronger and mightier person who leans on the Holy Spirit? Because that's what happens. As even crummy situations, they lead to this growth in our relationship with Jesus. Because we seek him out in those moments. Paul, he encourages the church in Ephesus to praise God as they're being killed and persecuted for their faith. Yet Paul writes this in Ephesians 5:20 that they need to be always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 reads, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In seeking him out in prayer, we allow the Holy Spirit to provide this supernatural peace and to guard our hearts and minds. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. In doing this, we put on clothes that allow us to comfortably rest in Jesus. Clothes. Glad that we have clothes. Glad that we're not all here naked, because that would be terrible enough. But I cannot help but think about clothing and nakedness and how things originally kicked off the ground. Adam and Eve. They sinned. When they sinned, their view of themselves was tarnished and distorted, and all they saw was nakedness. They were both naked, physically and spiritually, in their own eyes. And they tried to conceal their nakedness. As they sewed together some wimpy faces, it didn't work. Because God saw that they were naked. And it was only by God's grace, it was by His provision, that their sin and shame would actually be covered. As God created them. The sad thing is that we live in the same way as Adam and Eve. We're spiritually exposed. Our sinful nature is on display for all to see, and any attempt to strip that part away is just an absolute failure. Jesus Christ, He sacrificed Himself as He died on the cross and He would be resurrected. And God, He came in the flesh and He did this so that we would have a covering for our sin. That we would be cleansed of our sin. Through Jesus, we are made righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 reads, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We are recreated and we're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, an image that we were originally created to be. The challenge to us is to dress accordingly, to take off that sinful nature and to put it to death, and in its place put on a clothing, a lifestyle of holiness. To seek a filling of the Holy Spirit daily. And here's the thing, because one day our corrupt bodies will be clothed with incorruptible immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 reads, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And it's on that day that we will find ourselves as part of this great multitude that's talked about in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 10, as it reads, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne.
To have your special event heard, email details to events@windspeakermedia.com.
Many folks around the Lakeland participate in Dry January,
that is the great
a global movement where millions of people worldwide decide to abstain
like to
from alcohol for 1 month.
Strip off.
Some do this to see if they can, some want to give their bodies a break after the holidays, and others try an alcohol-free lifestyle to enjoy the positive benefits. In fact, a month without alcohol has great health benefits,
for today, we just
including better sleep, improved mood, and more
our
energy.
Hearts and minds
maybe
would be
this
so
year
good.
Is the year to look up Dry January and give it a try.
That we would
at
resolve
the
not to walk
FASD,
away from today's
to plan
church
for
gathering where we exalted and praised
months.
You and be content
and
with just doing what we're doing.
To abstain for whatever reason.
But instead, can we walk away from here and say, I want to clothe myself in you, Jesus.
The Lakeland Center for FASD is here.
I want to make sure that I'm faithfully walking as I should in who you are. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come down on each one of us today. That you would fill us.
Now, make them greener.
QuickTrain Canada makes it easy
now
to
we would
upscale
honor
facts
you by how
with short
carry
monthly funded trading
lives.
Opportunities in green construction and retrofits. You don't need years to make a change. Just
we
the drive to start. Join Canada's growing green workforce. Find your next opportunity today at QuickTrainCanada.ca. That's QuickTrainCanada.ca. Powered by the Canadian College.